We heard Scott this morning sing Bright Morning Star, and it was the new words, Bright Morning Star, arising, as opposed to in our hymnal, the words are Bright Morning Stars are rising. And I thought, oh, that makes sense. Somewhere the words got mixed around, but Bright Morning Star arising, what's that? It's the sun. It's the sun. It's the star. A star, which is the sun. So hearing this song this morning brought to mind the story of how the Young Astronomers Club once saved somebody's life. You may know that Unitarian Universalists have two theological schools on the West Coast, Star King, and in the middle of our U.S., we have Meadville Lombard Theological School. Reverend Rebecca Parker served as the president of Star King School for the Ministry in California for a long time, finishing up about 10 years ago. She's brilliant and wonderful, and I had the privilege of taking a course from her a ways back. She told our class how one day a part of what shaped her life story was how badly she struggled with depression in midlife. She needed to find a greater truth than her own blanket of pain to reclaim her own story. One night, in the depths of an endless winter, she became overwhelmed by despair and set out on a journey to the nearby lake with the intention to end her own suffering. As she tells it, she was numb to the core, walking as if dead already, one foot in front of the other, determined to do the only thing that might stop her pain. As she made her way towards the water, she crested a small hill and began to hear noises in the distance that she hadn't expected. It was close to midnight, but somehow she was hearing excited chattering. Such a stark contrast to her own desolation. She kept walking. She could see the lake shimmering, and slowly but surely she could make out little black shapes, silhouetted and moving about at the water's edge. What were these fools doing up at midnight? All of a sudden, from out of the darkness, a young teen emerged. "Oh, you're here," he bubbled, though they had never met. "Quick, come and see what the stars are doing." To her dismay, Rebecca had encountered the Young Astronomers Club. The teen caught her arm and brought Rebecca to a freestanding telescope, and suddenly she found herself peering into infinity. The cosmos danced before her eyes. She recalled a story told to her by a rabbi who said that he keeps a handful of seeds in one coat pocket and some sand in the other, lest he forget his own understanding of faith. For you, the world was created, and also ashes to ashes, dust to dust. This dazzling constellation that she was peering at had been there for thousands of years, and yet this was the night with tons of comets streaking the sky. Rebecca huddled there amazed with all the rest of the group, enveloped by their awe and delight. Later, she walked herself home to Coco, her cat, and a bed that she could warm with her very own living body. The tiniest connection to others linked her with all existence, and it was enough to ground her again to this earth and to her own place in the universe. Denise Levertov writes, "Marvelous truth, confront us at every turn, in every guise, iron ball, egg, dark horse, shadow, cloud of breath on the air, dwell in our crowded hearts, thrust close your smile that we know you, terrible joy." Rebecca Parker and John Burens, a past president of our Unitarian Universalist Association, co-authored a book called A House for Hope. In their book, they talk about how we are continually shaping our theological house. By theology, I don't mean what we or you believe about God. I'm talking about what frameworks of meaning currently shape our community and our culture. Theological frameworks respond to or are involved with a particular time and space. They are responsive and interactive. They change with the times, and they change as our need to understand our environment changes. As we explored in our Time for All Ages, we recognize that our understanding of truth can and must evolve as we acquire new knowledge or gain different perspectives. On this journey, we hold onto our Unitarian Universalist fourth principle of the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. For many of us, this journey isn't solely about seeking these truths. It's also about the art of articulating our beliefs, doing so with love and courage once we have unearthed them. We carry within us a tapestry of truths woven together by the influences of our families, inspirational teachers or mentors, tyrants or manipulators, the world's triumphs and tragedies, and of course, the still small voice within each of us. So often, truth is subjective. I used to volunteer at the Children's Room in Arlington, which is a center for grieving children, and there I learned the importance of oral storytelling. It can be helpful to kids to see oneself as a family history, as a part of a family history, part of a bigger whole. Here's one way they might frame things, an ascending narrative. Our family came from hard times and has learned to thrive. Or a descending narrative. Our family had everything, and then we lost it, but we had each other. Or an oscillating narrative. In our family, we have had ups and downs, and this is how Uncle X figured out how to live with chronic illness. Our people are resilient. Or we learned how to find a silver lining. Or we faced hard things. Or it's sad, but also happy over the years. Finding a foothold for hope and resilience sometimes is a means of articulating one's chosen truth. Is there a family narrative that your family has told you? What are your people's strengths? And what will you pass on? I realize, of course, that these narratives aren't always positive. Some of the stories or truths we hear and pass on need to be let go. When we can recognize them as someone else's truth, but not our own, or someone else's crutch, but never really a truth, we can free ourselves from traps of the mind. Is there a message you were told growing up that you know now is not your own truth? In my own life, my sense of truth shapes my actions and molds my identity. For instance, I hold this belief true, it's one I've had since I was little, that an eye for an eye and the world will go blind. I know world wars are fought because people feel differently than this. To me, it still holds true. It's my personal belief. Ultimate truths, those timeless and profound principles that resonate through the ages, have the remarkable power to beckon us into a harmonious relationship with ourselves, with others, and the universe. These truths transcend the constraints of time and culture, offering guiding stars by which we may navigate the vast sea of existence. They invite us to cultivate self-awareness and authenticity, to recognize the inherent worth and dignity of every individual, and to embrace the interconnectedness of all living beings. In doing so, ultimate truths encourage us to live with integrity, compassion, and a deep sense of responsibility toward the well-being of our fellow humans and the planet we share. These enduring principles illuminate our path and inspire us to create a world where respect and justice and love thrive, forging a bond that unites us with the greater tapestry of all life. Theodore Parker, whose words we heard this morning, a prominent Unitarian minister of the 19th century, stood as a theological radical in an era marked by social and political upheaval in the United States. His progressive sociological views and provocative sermons on liberal religion challenged the status quo, often leading to his shunning by fellow Unitarian colleagues. Despite the disapproval from his theological contemporaries, Parker's intellect and emergent ideas were admired by a broader audience of Unitarians and liberal thinkers as he boldly addressed issues such as women's rights, prison reform, and most notably, anti-slavery causes. He attracted massive crowds, preaching to around 3,000 people, a remarkable feat in an era without microphones. A key element of Parker's theology was his belief in the permanence of certain religious truths. He argued that while the forms, doctrines, and practices of religion might change, the essential message of religion, rooted in the great commandment to love God and one's neighbor, remains unaltered across time and place. What particularly set Parker apart, however, was his vehement denial of the factual basis of biblical miracles and his disregard for the miraculous authority attributed to both the Bible and Jesus. This stance led to an uproar among Trinitarian and Unitarian ministers, with many questioning the Christian nature of his theology. "You don't have it right," they wanted to tell him. Unitarian ministers called on him to resign from the Unitarian Association, but he stood his ground, challenging them to expel him if they wished to establish a creed. To this day, our heritage led us, and now we are a creed-free faith. We never ask you to check your mind at the door. In fact, we want you to live by your conscience and update your truth as often as you see fit. In living as authentically as possible, we adapt to these changes while preserving our integrity and the essence of who we are. The news of the world is so truly beyond horrible these days. There is no way to sugarcoat any of it, nor should we, because the truth is the truth. Violence and war kill. Violence breeds more violence. After the shooting in Lewiston, Maine, this week, I found myself weeping. 18 in a bowling alley and bar, and thousands in Israel and Gaza. I needed to shove my hands deep into my pockets and find a touchstone for a timeless truth. Do Jesus' teachings hold up? As Theodore Parker suggests, not a religion about Jesus, but the religion of Jesus, a Jewish man. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. We could choose to get hung up on the word God and shut down, or we could say, my own true words for that are simply love with a capital L, love as a verb. But I think we can reclaim the timeless truth to work for us. Love of life, universe, and creation. And love our neighbors? Yes. Practice kindness and compassion in all these ways we can every time pursue truth, the one right next thing, a timeless truth. I will close with a story about a teacher who lives these truths day in and day out in her classroom. Every Friday afternoon, she asks her students to take out a piece of paper and write down the names of four children with whom they would like to sit the following week. The children know that these requests may or may not be honored. She also asks the students to nominate one student whom they believe has been an exceptional classroom citizen that week. All ballots are privately submitted to the teacher. And every single Friday afternoon, after the students go home, she takes out those slips of paper, places them in front of her, and studies them. And she looks for patterns. Who is not getting requested by anyone else? Who doesn't even know who to request? Who never gets noticed enough to be nominated? Who has a million friends last week and none this week? She's not looking for a new seating chart or exceptional citizens. She's looking for lonely children. She's looking for children who are struggling to connect with other children. She's identifying the little ones who are falling through the cracks of the class's social life. She's discovering whose gifts are going unnoticed by their peers, and she's pinning down right away who's being bullied and who is doing the bullying. What a brilliant force for good she has become. It's like taking an X-ray of a classroom to see beneath the surface of things and into the hearts of students. It's like mining for gold, the gold being those little ones who need a little help, who need adults to step in and teach them how to make friends, how to ask others to play, how to join a group, or how to share their gifts with others. And it's a bully deterrent because every teacher knows that bullying usually happens outside of their eye shot, and that often kids being bullied are too intimidated to share or ask for help. But as she said, the truth comes out on those safe, private little sheets of paper. When someone asks this teacher, "How long have you been using this system?" "Ever since Columbine," was her reply. "Every single Friday afternoon since Columbine." Good Lord. This brilliant woman watched Columbine knowing that all violence begins with disconnection. All outward violence begins as inner loneliness. She watched that tragedy knowing that children who aren't being noticed will eventually resort to being noticed by any means necessary. And so she decided to start fighting violence early and often, and with the world within her reach. What this teacher is doing when she sits down in her empty classroom studying those lists is confronting marvelous truth. She is saving lives. This wonderful teacher retires this year after decades of saving lives. What a way to spend a life looking for patterns of love and loneliness, stepping in every single day and altering the trajectory of our world. Dear ones, we are the first responders, the front line, the ones who see what truth looks like. And it is not this truth that only some are worthy and some are not. That's not the truth. You are the best and only hope we've got for a better world. What you do with your personal set of truths and how you live the permanent religious truths at the core of our faith, well, it's in our hands. And now, these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May it be so.